In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today we are hearing a continuation of the chapter in the Gospel of Luke, which was begun last Sunday. And you'll recall that last week we heard Jesus begin to teach his disciples as part of what is sometimes referred to as the Sermon on the Plain. And it echoes some of the teachings in the Gospel of Matthew that we hear in the Sermon on the Mount. Last week we especially heard the blesseds and the woes, and we're reminded more than anything that living life according to God's will for us is very different from living life according to the ways the world would have us live. As we listen to today's reading, we hear Jesus as he continues to teach his disciples. And I can't help thinking how easy it would be to dismiss some of these words, hard words to be sure. We might assume, first off, that Jesus is setting up some kind of an impossible command, and in so doing is trying to force us to admit our own need, force us to admit that we're sinners, force us to admit that our lives are indeed broken, and thereby trying to push us into grace, into good news, and into forgiveness. Another reason that we might dismiss the teaching is that it might seem like it's a very naive instruction of someone who's a dreamer, someone whose head is in the clouds, someone who's the eternal optimist, looking at human nature as something that's perfect, someone who clearly does not understand how the world really works. Yet another reason that we might tend to dismiss these difficult words is that we might assume we actually follow them pretty well, which of course is somewhat self-deluded. We might then decide to take on the responsibility of teaching these commands to others, and maybe we'd even take a little bit of secret delight trying to make other people follow them. And each of these ways of dismissing Jesus's words, whether done consciously or unconsciously, have something similar in common. They begin with a similar premise. And that premise is this. Each of those begins by hearing the words that Jesus has spoken on the plain as a set of commands or rules. Commands and rules that, in the first case, drive us to despair because we know we can never measure up to them totally. Or second, we see them as just being ineffectual and very naive. Or third, we might see them as something that we think we're doing pretty well, and therefore we should have the idea of enforcing them on others, whether in the name of morality or family values or justice. But what if these sayings, what if this teaching of Jesus isn't meant to be a command at all? What if instead it's offering us a promise? And instead of accepting the world and the way that the world wants to work, Jesus is saying to us, it doesn't have to be that way. There is another option. We can treat people the way we would like to be treated. And indeed, there's enough and more than enough love, there's more than enough attention, there's more than enough food and honor and worth and time to go around. What if Jesus is saying to us that no matter how hard you play by the rules of the world, you're still going to get trapped. Trapped in a losing game, and maybe even trapped into death. Because that's part and parcel of the way that the world works. And if Jesus is saying to us and showing us that the world as we know it isn't the only one, maybe he's also trying to show us that it's not even the real one. And that's what we're hearing in today's gospel. Jesus is not offering us simply another set of rules. Rules to replace the rules that the world already works by. He's not giving us another set of rules to help us get ahead or even just get by in the world. Jesus is doing something much more important. And it's something so radically different from our traditional understanding of the way that the world works. What Jesus is laying out for us, his modern day disciples, is an invitation into a whole other world. A world that's not about measuring and counting, and it's not about weighing and competing. It's not about tit for tat. It's not about keeping score. It's not even about judging and paying back and knowing who to hate and all the rest of that kind of thing. What Jesus is doing is giving us an invitation to love. Love for those who've loved you, yes. Love for those who haven't loved you. Love even for those who hate you. That love gets expressed in all kinds of creative ways, but often comes through by caring, extending care and compassion and help and comfort to those who are in need. It comes through by forgiveness. It comes through by refusing to play the paying back game, and instead releasing our claim on one another and opening up a future with a relationship of love, a relationship that's still very possible. And here we come upon that gospel word of love once more. And if you read this passage in Greek, it's the word agape, which is not romantic love. It's not even just liking or friendship. What agape does mean is wholehearted, unreserved, unconditional desire for the well-being of the other, expecting nothing in return. And I don't know of anything that's harder to accomplish than that. But I also know it's possible. And in fact, we attest to that possibility every time we repeat our baptismal vows. The ones I'm especially thinking about right now are these three. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? And to all of these promises, we respond, I will, with God's help. Because without God's help, we will find it nearly impossible to even begin to do. Now, some of the better known atheists of our days talk about the ridiculousness of religious faith in a cause and effect world. And they argue that there's no room for miracles in such a world, let alone a divine being, because the closed system of the world in the physical universe doesn't operate that way, they would argue. One miracle could bring the whole thing tumbling down. And yet, each time that we forgive one another, Are we not interrupting that kind of cause and effect of the laws of the world? Think about it. The world would declare that love deserves love. The world would declare that hate deserves hate. The world would declare that deeds that are both good and bad should be repaid in like kind. The world would tell us that force must be counteracted with force and that violence begets violence. And I'm sure you can come up with your own ideas and ways that you have seen the world work in your own life. And yet, when you forgive, you interrupt that whole endless cycle and you create something new. When you think about it, love doesn't make any kind of sense in that kind of mechanical view of the universe. For love, when you define it most simply, is this: it's seeking the good of another above and beyond your own good. And love is not a means to an end, it's an end unto itself, which in turn creates a whole new world of morality and justice, a new world of peace and kindness, a new world of faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and all the rest of those things that we strive for, yet fail to find or manifest without having love. And so, these words of Jesus which we hear today, are they a command or a promise? If they're a command, that is, it'd be one more thing someone has told us and that we'd be held accountable for, and then we'd likely continue to live in fear. And while we may behave a little bit better under those kinds of circumstances, at least when someone's watching us, ultimately living like that really isn't very different than living under the commands that the world would put on us. But if these words that we heard in the gospel this morning are a promise, then we might just imagine that there is another world available to us at this very moment, and we're then able to see each other as gifts that God has given us, and we're open to experience the transformation that Jesus is promising us. So when you imagine that Jesus is offering an invitation rather than simply setting a whole new set of rules on us, everything sounds different. Listen again. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Everything begins to sound different because everything is different. I found a quote from Mother Teresa this week that very well exemplifies this in another set of words. And she wrote this: "People are often unreasonable and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you're honest, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. If you find happiness, people may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow. do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give your best anyway. For you see, in the end, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway.